This week I heard the most amazing story that captured my entire thought process as it relates to what we're looking at during these weeks, because these weeks are dedicated to looking at one sole concept, and that is, how do I become the faithful man or woman he intends for me to be, the faithful student, the faithful child? And as you begin to process this, you'll discover something. There is no better book of the Bible to glean insights in about being faithful than in the book of Joshua. And today we find ourselves in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, and the story I was about to tell you is simply this. A young family, poor, living in a village in Romania where I was at this last week, they had gone online and they bought a used dresser from a family that was selling off all the things in their father's home because he had died. And not thinking twice about it, they had bought this piece of furniture, put it in their house, and a few days later, their little son, it's a poor family of four little children, their little son was playing around in this piece of furniture and found a metal box. And in that box was 95,000 euros, $107,000 of American dollar. And they were astonished because these are dedicated, committed, believing people, faithful to God. And so they began to process, what do we do with this? Their first thought was, this is a test. We're getting tested to see what we're made of. And so they sought out the family who had sold the furniture and finally found the son of the father who had died. And they wanted to find out one thing about the son, and that was he faithful to his father? And when they finished their conversation, they realized that the son had been faithful to his dad and was only clearing out an apartment that his father had left him and sold all the old furniture out of the house, not looking in most of it, but inside of that one piece of furniture was one metal box that his father had placed 500 denomination euros in that box, accumulating to 95,000 euros. And so this family, thinking they were tested, not knowing what to do, how to respond, certainly not wanting a shadow to be cast over them, that would be the wrong shadow, because they lived for the legacy of faithfulness. And so they sought this family out, talked to the brother, identified what transpired, knew that the son had been faithful to the father, and gave them back all 95,000 euros. They asked the son, did you have any idea that your father had this money? He said, no, I had no idea at all. And it's interesting what the faithful son did, because the faithful son then took 10% of those euros and gave it to the poor family because they were honest and had integrity. And I want you to think about this in light of the day we live in. It's much easier to see somebody else have that kind of story, but if you bought a piece of used furniture and there's $100,000 in it, would you look for who it is that had the furniture, or would you rejoice that you just got blessed? I mean, the reality is that you and I would have to process that because something had come our way that we never thought. They saw it as a test of their faithfulness. And what I want you to see today as we look inside of God's Word, that God wants to test our hearts to see if we're faithful. Not about finding a metal box and a piece of old furniture that would have money in it. No, it's much bigger than that. It's about looking inside of our own hearts and seeing if there's a treasure that God has placed in us that would guide us to experience what He intends for each one of us. And so today, as you think about that, we find ourselves beginning a journey. I introduced it to you a couple weeks ago. We find ourselves beginning a journey today into understanding and grasping how it is that God can operate in each one of our lives so that we are faithful and so that we are rock solid, never wavering in what it is that God intends for our lives. And watch this carefully. If we choose to be unfaithful, we miss the opportunities of our life. But if we choose to be faithful, He will continue to present opportunities for it. Here's what we discover. We look at a man who obviously was greatly shaped by one of the most prolific and powerful men who ever lived, named Moses. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. You're Joshua. You are in interaction with Moses every day. You are wandering around the wilderness for 40 years because your friends would not be faithful. Your 10 friends said, no, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. And as a result, they ended up wandering for all those years. But in the midst of all that wandering, There was something going on inside of Joshua because he was being shaped to be used by God. And what I want you to see today is this. Every moment of preparation that God ever placed before us, he has purpose for it. Every moment we go through, that he pushes us through something that maybe we didn't want to go through. Maybe it's something that was more overwhelming than we thought it would be. But it's there to prepare us for something that's greater because his purpose is there. And for every opportunity God puts before us, we have to be willing to say, Lord, speak to my heart. So we find ourselves today in Joshua chapter 1. And I want you to see today, there's something powerful about the shadow that Moses cast and how Joshua moves beyond the shadow. All right? Because I want to ask you a question before we begin reading in Joshua chapter 1. When it comes down to your life and your story, who's your hero? Who is the person that you look at and you go, this person stands out? It's interesting. This week, I sent an email out to you. A number of you responded to this email because we're looking at the idea of faithfulness. And it was intriguing to me to see the qualities and the distinctiveness of who it is that is in your life that is faithful. Some of you, a single word, the name of a person. Some of you, the story of that faithfulness. All of it wrapping together in the shadow that had been cast by a hero that is powerful and meaningful to each one of our lives. So in Joshua chapter 1, we find that the hero of all of Joshua's life is dead. Moses is gone. Which, by the way, even though dead, he still speaks. We know that because in the book of Joshua, 57 different times Moses is referenced, which tells you something. He was a hero. He was a man who was a friend of God. He was a man that Joshua looked up to greatly. So look with me, if you would, beginning in verse 1, Joshua chapter 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. And notice this promise. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as to as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong. Now, I want you to notice this phrase, be strong, because it is echoed over and over again as God prepares Joshua to be who he's supposed to be. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want you to imagine that God's speaking to you, and all of a sudden he keeps saying the same phrase over and over again, be strong, be strong, be strong, which tells you something. If you get weak in the midst of your journey, it's pretty easy for us to fall apart and not become what he intended for us to be. And so here we find the story of how God sets in motion a preparation to allow Joshua to accomplish what he needs to do. And what I want you to see today is this. When you look at this message, what I hope and pray you'll glean is that as he has put people in your life, their particular models of faithfulness has spoke to your heart. But beyond that, there's also an awareness that what God wants to do in you is to help you become faithful. So that those who look up to you, those who admire you, those who are blessed by you will also stand and testify to your faithfulness. And so as you look at this text, what I want to show you today is how Joshua had in particular deal with certain things of his own personal life in order to move forward. And as God spoke to him, it's obvious that what he wanted to do was to grab hold of certain concepts that would help him be courageous, help him be strong, help him be effective in what he wanted to do in his life. And so as you think about that, you start thinking about your heroes. Let's go back to that question. Who's your hero? And what you discover is, as you look at who your hero is, then you start thinking about, if they're still alive, what kind of impact they make on you, what kind of influence they have on you. And it's interesting because while I was gone to Romania, I had lots of interaction with lots of people, and it was a blessed time. Last Sunday, 10 people gave their heart to Christ. Last Sunday, I baptized 3 orphans that I met as little children who have grown up and have surrendered their hearts to Jesus to follow him all the days of their life. It was an amazing and precious time. But while I was there, I also talked to one of the leading authorities in the government who I led to Christ a few years ago. Every time I'm with him, I meet with him and interact with him. And he and his wife, they're precious people. And he's one of the high-ranking officials in all the passport issues of the entire country. And so while we're together, he asked me a question. He said, "I got to ask you a question. My question is simply this. When it comes to the world we live in, why are some people poor and go through difficulty? And why are some people blessed and don't go through so much difficulty? Why? How do we reckon with all this that we have inside of our world?" And it's interesting. I said, "You know what happened is, what you don't realize is oftentimes your hero is somebody who's gone through something that you never choose to go through yourself." And I said, "Let me tell you about a grandmother I had." And I began to tell him about my grandmother and the influence she had. My grandmother was birthed during the Great Depression. She served and ministered during the Great Depression. She was impactful in her life. She was faithful with her character, and she was committed to accomplishing what Jesus intended. By the time I got done, he said, "You know, I get it, because in his own family, there are 9 children, and his mother had been faithful to take care of them." And he was telling me the story about how when you were poor, you got the dark black bread, and when you were rich, you got the white bread during communism. And he was telling me about how contrasting that was to realize that they were always poor, always getting that dark bread. And he said, "Now everybody wants the dark bread with all the grain and stuff." And so he said, "It's interesting how things change over time." But the question he was asking was, what kind of influences that does someone have on you, even if they've been through difficult circumstances? And today I want you to think about your own life. Perhaps you've been through difficulty. Perhaps you've been through heartache. Perhaps you've been through a situation where you look at it and you go, "Man, I'm not sure what it is God's trying to teach me, but whatever it is, I want to yield myself to him." You see, the death of Moses, I want you to think about this for a second, cast a shadow over Joshua that led to amazing breakthroughs. The death of Moses cast a shadow. And what I've discovered is my grandmother's shadow has extended on even into this day of my life. Been gone many, many years, and yet that shadow is still there. You have heroes in your life, people in your life who their shadow is there to bless you and encourage you. And what happens with Joshua, it comes time for him to move beyond Moses to his own, beyond his own Moses' life, to his own life, his own calling, his own responsibility. And so as you think about that, that death set in motion Joshua's life. And so as you think about that, this new reality, Joshua, all of a sudden, he has a new reality in his life. He has something he has to deal with he never dealt with before. Because before that, he always got to hang out with Moses. And if you read the book of Exodus, you read Deuteronomy, you realize Joshua was always with Moses, which tells you something. If you have somebody who's faithful in your life, hang out with them. Be around them. Listen to them. Glean from them. Be encouraged by them. Let them speak into your heart. Let them bless you personally. Let the faithful people who are part of your journey of faith speak to you. Because what happens is, when you let someone faithful speak to you, it changes who you are. It begins to change your life. And so here's a new reality for Joshua. He had a life that had to be absolutely anchored in faith, because it demanded faith, and it was anchored in God. And because what you discover is everything he had been equipped in, everything he had been taught, everything that had been a part of his journey, all of a sudden now becomes a reality. And here's what I want you to think about as it relates to your life, 2019, January. You're zeroing in on what you're going to accomplish throughout this year. Listen carefully. If you have 100 goals, and if the first goal is not to be faithful, you may miss your whole life. But if your first goal is, "Lord, I want to be faithful to whatever it is you have called me to do," then if you set that as a target you're shooting for, here's what you discover. It'll be rock solid. You'll never waver. And your children and your grandchildren, others will see Christ in you. They'll see the answer to how life works. I want to challenge you to think about in your own life today. What would happen if you walked out of church today saying, "You know what? I may not accomplish all the other things that people would like me to accomplish, but what I will accomplish is I will accomplish being the faithful man or woman, student, child that God wants me to be." And I'll tell you, if you discover that, then you will have set in motion the most amazing journey of faith that you ever could imagine. And so here we are. We're in the first chapter of Joshua. And if you think about it for a second, Joshua was being equipped all through his journey. I mean, from being chosen to spy out the land to being called on to fight. In fact, I want you to look at two texts in the book of Exodus to set in motion an understanding of everything that Joshua was about. So turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 17. Just hang a left there just for a moment and bear with me as I open this up, because I want you to get a hold of this thought. Then how did Joshua become such an amazingly effective man? How did he accomplish God's purpose for his life? God was putting in motion his experiences way before he became the leader to take him in the promised land. And you're going to see something as these days unfold. You're going to see what happens when a man says, when God says to a man, you put him right there and let him wait. Put him right there and let him watch. Let him sit him right there and let him wonder what it is I'm going to do. And then God sweeps in and shows him how to have victory. So Exodus chapter 17. You remember this story perhaps. Maybe you don't. In verse 8, they're fighting some battles. And then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses, who's he say? To Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let it down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, stop right there and think about this. Here's the story. All of a sudden, they get a chance to be able to have victory, but victory is demanded only by an awareness of God's presence in their life. And so what happens, if you're Joshua, I'm sure you're out there fighting a battle, and every time you look up at the hill, say, whoa, put the hand up again. I mean, we got to make sure this goes well. And so they do experience victory, but I want you to see something very intriguing. Verse 14, all right? Notice what happened. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to who? Recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. And he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. So he makes it very clear here. Make a memorial, but recite it to Joshua. In other words, make sure that this reference point is a focal point for everything Joshua will do. Now look on over, if you would, chapter 33 of Exodus, all right? Look at Exodus 33. And look, if you would, in verse 11. Notice what transpires. This is a very powerful reference point to Joshua's life. Exodus 33, verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Now, why would he want to stay with him all the time? Because Moses was faithful. And what I want you to see today is this, that God wants each one of us to learn how to become faithful and committed to accomplish his purpose. So what did Joshua have to be willing to do? As we think about in our own life, because the truth is, this story is so applicable, it moves us forward so quickly. Joshua had to show three things. And they're the same three things you and I have to face in order to be faithful. First of all, he had to have the courage to confront. He had to be willing. He had to be willing to look inside of his own heart and life and go, you know what? I am going to deal with the issues that are in front of me. He had to have, in fact, if you read in the first chapter, you realize something. What does God say to him? You got to be strong. You got to be willing to go after this. You got to be willing to make sure you don't miss this, because this is what I want you to see, that every promise I've given you, every instruction I've given you, every place your feet trod, they're going to be blessed by God. But you got to be willing to confront. And I want to challenge you to think about this in light of your own life. What if there was one thing in your life that if you had the courage to confront it, it would set in motion the most victorious time of your entire journey? What if you just said, you know what? I am going to courageously go after this. Joshua, he had to have the courage to realize that Moses was dead, and he had to move on beyond that. But it wasn't just that. The second thing was he had to make a commitment to obey what it was that God was trying to say to him. He had to be willing to say, you know, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. I think that's why he gets the promise to be strong and courageous. He had to commit to obey what it is God was saying. And then finally, the third thing he had to do, he had to show in his own life was this. He had to have a confidence to come before the Lord with whatever it is he was facing. So I want you to think about your own life today, just for a moment. How courageous are you? How committed are you? How confident are you? Because the truth of the matter is that if you begin to experience what it is God has for you, it'll make you more courageous. You'll start saying, you know what? That's what I want to do. I want to go after that. And I can remember I referenced for you earlier talking about Dr. Bailey Smith and his passing. And when our journey of faith began, we began in the second largest church in America at the time. And I'll never forget when they asked me to work there, my first thought was, what do they see? I didn't have any idea what they were looking for and what they saw in me even. And I can remember some of the equipping that my immediate boss gave me, who I did his funeral a few years ago. I mean, his first equipping moment for me was, now, Jerem, we all know you're dumb as a stump. And he said, as long as you don't forget it, you'll do really great. And I was sitting there going, nobody's ever told me that before. And what's interesting was, he was right. I had no clue how to do what I was called to do. And I look back and I go, wow. But God was showing me through him. He had the courage to confront me and say, look, don't walk around thinking like you got it all figured out. Well, then I'm married to an introvert wife, shy as can be. We're in this big giant church with thousands of people. And we walk down the hallway. Cindy right beside me. Walk down the hallway. Hey. You know, I'm supposed to be friendly. And we get the other in the hallway. I say, Cindy, you didn't speak to anybody. She said, I didn't see anybody. I'm like, this is not going to work. I mean, when you see these people, you got to speak to them. And by the way, if you notice, she's very good at it now. But when she was 20 years old, she walked out again. And I'd walk by again. Hey, look up. There comes the deacon. There's another pastor. You know, and we had to have the courage to confront. All right, my boss told me what? You know what he said. And I had to say to Cindy, hey, you got to do this. And what happened was, as a result of that, God began to shape us and began to help us understand how to be committed, help us how to have confidence in the Lord. And it's interesting because our journey of faith led us to trust him beyond what we could see. And for Joshua, he had to have the same kind of trust. So he had a new reality. And I want you to see in this text what the instructions were for his new reality. So follow along with me. I'm going to give you three or four of them that I think will be helpful to you. The first one is this. Be wise enough to step out because he goes before you. In other words, don't get caught up thinking that you are stuck in a place that you can't get beyond. Be wise enough to go beyond that. Step out because he's ahead of you. Step out and say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. And when you learn how to step out, listen, I can tell you so many experiences that were such early, early equipping moments. I was baptizing in a service. There were five people baptizing. With Brother Bailey baptizing in front, he had the little child. Me being the youngest staff member, I had the biggest person. And we're on national TV. We're broadcasting. The first broadcast of a church service live in the country at that time. And so we're broadcasting live on NBC everywhere, and the baptism's going on, and I get my big guy. I mean big guy. And I take him down, and I lose a grip on him. And so I lose a grip on him, and so when I finally get him, I pull him up, and I throw him into the brick wall. And so he hits this brick wall with his face, and he's kind of like dazed. And of course, Bailey's looking at me like, where did you come from? Who thought we should hire you? And I can remember thinking, I've got to learn how to take someone down very graciously and take them back up, because if not, I'm going to have a job. And I can look back thinking, wow, but God was going before me. I never baptized anybody before. I didn't even know how to do all that. And yet, I had the privilege of being involved in watching 7,000 people give their heart to Christ over 6 years. And I got to baptize in one night 120 people. And all of them, none of them I threw them in the brick wall. I learned how to take them in the water and bring them back up. Which, by the way, one of the most interesting things about my trip to Romania this last week was on Sunday we baptized, and Romanians, they baptize in one fell motion. All right, so basically you're standing there, whoosh, and I mean you just take in everything. And so there was this guy that was being baptized by the other pastor, not by me, because I graciously take him under and bring him back up. This guy was, he was so excited that he was like this, like praising the Lord. And when he went under, about half the baptism pool went straight in his mouth. And he came out, you know, and I was like, I didn't do it. I have learned how to do this. And so as I watched it, I thought, you know, how many moments have we had that are funny moments, but what, they teach you something? Which, by the way, some of life lessons are not negative, challenging things. They're hilarious moments that teach you great things. You just have to be willing to live through them. So step out and realize something. He's going before you. He's opened the door before you. And here's what I want you to get. Our willingness to step through the door opens up his will to us. If we're willing to say, Lord, I'm going to step through this. And when I think about, for example, the journey of faith that God allowed us to go through 5 years ago and walking through the door to become a family together, I think about the rejoicing I have in my heart because of all that God has done. All those things are a willingness to go, Lord, I know I want to trust your will. I want to do what it is you have asked me to do. All right? So step out. The second thing I want you to see, which, by the way, that's found in verses 1 through 3 there, because he said in verse 3, every place in which the soles of your feet tread, your foot tread, I've given it to you. Can you imagine being promised whatever you step into, it's yours? You just walk in there and you trust him completely. Second thing you see is this. Look at verse 4. For the wilderness of Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea towards saying the sun, it's your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Watch this. What is he saying? Rest totally secure in his promises. Rest secure in his promises he gives you, because as you're resting secure in his promises, his plan will unfold. So going back to a statement I made a little bit earlier, everything that God takes us through by way of preparation is connected to his purpose, all right? And what you discover is every promise he gives us is connected to his power at work in our life. Because what happens when we get a promise that speaks to our hearts and life? It does something for us. It motivates us to accomplish even more. And so what happens is, here he says, man, listen, every promise, every command, everything I give you, it's there. It speaks to you. And listen carefully. If you don't pick it up, you don't get the promises. But if you pick it up, it can speak to your heart forever. And so be wise enough to go, you know what? I want these promises to be part of my journey of faith. I want it to speak to my heart. Because watch this. If you're resting secure in his promises, you're resting secure in what it is he's saying to you, then all of a sudden, the affirmation of his presence will give you the greatest assurance that he's with you no matter what. It's happened to me. Last week, I was walking down the sidewalk. My primary responsibility when I went was to impact some folks who that were being baptized, but also, and to preach the gospel, but also to take my responsibility with the school that I'm a part of there in Romania to help impact that. And so I'm walking down the hall, down the sidewalk, and they've had tons of snow and ice, and they never cleaned the sidewalks. And I don't know if you ever had this experience, but when I get on that ice, my first prayer is, Lord, don't let me fall. First of all, because I don't want anybody to see it, but secondly, I don't want to get hurt. And so I'm walking along with a younger man, and all of a sudden, have you ever had that moment where you hit the ice, and you know you're either going down, you're going to come so close that you're going to get everything out of whack? Well, I had one of those moments where I slid like that. And he looked at me and said, man, you need to be careful. And I said, no, you get on this side. There's more ice over here. Let me have the sidewalk and where there's no ice. But that moment of knowing he was with me, watching over me, taking care of me, was such an assurance for me. So what, if you want God's presence in your life, rest in his promises. Watch what his promises say to your life. You want to be faithful? Grab hold of his promises. Third thing I want you to see. Look, if you would, verse 6. In verse 60, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. So what did we learn here? Very important principle. Success is anchored in obedience to his word. If you want to succeed, You get inside of his word, let it speak to your heart and life, and as that success unfolds, it's all anchored in his promises. And what happens is, as I hear a promise, watch this. If you read it and don't obey it, then it gets you nowhere. But if you read it and obey it, it does something powerful for you. And how do you get there? How do you get to obedience? You start believing those promises deep in your heart. Deep in your heart. And that same little wife I told you about that was shy and quiet, she, when she wanted to trust God to do something amazing in our life and bring into our lives little children, she took a promise and she believed God. And God answered her prayer. And now when I see little grandchildren and others running around, I'm thinking about the promise given to a lady in her early 20s, and God honored that. She was obedient to God. She let it dwell inside of her heart. She lived it. It's the same promises. We have two promises on our refrigerator that I look at every time I open the refrigerator. And both of the promises are that we would take into the generation yet to come, generation after generation, the effectiveness of who God is, how he works, what he wants to do in each one of our lives. That's the very reason we have an amazing preschool ministry, the reason we have an amazing children's ministry and student ministry. What? To anchor the future. Anchor the future into what it is God intends to do through each one of our lives. One final principle I'm going to wrap together as we think about this whole idea of the shadow that was cast. And watch this carefully. Your hero could be saying to you the most important things you ever hear. Listen to them. Listen to what they say. Yield as God speaks to you and let that become a part of your story. Because my goal for this message was simply that you would kind of think through it. And you know what? Am I being obedient? Am I resting in his promises? Am I yielding myself to what it is he wants to do in my life? Am I feeling present in my life? A final thing I want you to show you is found in verse 9. And notice what he says. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What's the fourth thing that we have to learn? We have to learn to find strength in his command. Because when he commands something to us, it's to strengthen us. It's to help us be stronger. And it's interesting because if you read through the book of Joshua, you discover over and over again, in fact, even in chapter 1, look if you would, the very last verse, verse 18. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. As I mentioned to you, I baptized three orphan children that now are grown. The boy that I baptized, his name is Aline, wonderful boy. And so I got a chance to have fellowship with him on Friday before I left, and I want to ask him a question. I said, I know a lot of people visit your orphanage. I want to know the difference between what you've experienced with the Americans who have come over the years and the other groups. And it's interesting what he said. He identified only three groups that actually had been there often. One group came from a European country, and he said they really talked a lot about Jesus. I mean, he said they said a lot about Jesus, but they smoked and drank every night. And he said, we never could correlate what that meant. That meant that they needed more than Jesus. They needed to smoke and drink and do all this stuff. He said, we discounted all that very quickly. He said, then another group came, and they came from another country, and they were nice. They were kind, but they said nothing about what God could do in our lives. He said, then the Americans came. And the Americans came not in their own name, but in the high name of Jesus. And they came conveying something that mattered the most. And when I think about the eternal consequence of walking in the name of Jesus, whether it's in Tanzania, whether it's in other country we go to, whether it's in Romania, wherever it is, walking in his name shows the faithfulness of God at work. And listen, Eileen can't remember all the names of all the people who've come, but he does know this. There have been faithful men and women, faithful students, who have represented to him the message of Jesus, so much so that he fell in love with Jesus and follows him now for the rest of his life. That is a testimony of a faithful, faithful group of people who said yes to him. And so here's what I want you to think about. Never, never fear or lose focus. Be faithful. Don't get tight. Don't get overwhelmed. Never fear. And keep your eyes on Jesus, because here's the ultimate question. Will you be a hero to someone as you live a faithful life? And I can tell you, for me, every day, every moment, the opportunity to convey faithfulness in the hearts of people, to let them know that God loves them, let them know that God has a plan for their life, to see our church be blessed by those who walk into this building and realize that we are a people anchored in one thing, and that is we are faithful to a God who's ordered the steps of our lives out. And I end with Deuteronomy chapter 34. Look there as we finish this message. In Deuteronomy 34, I want you to see one thing about Joshua you can't miss. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, and I'm finished. Just a page back. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, watch this, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And the sons of Israel, watch this, listened to him as did as the Lord had commanded Moses. He laid his hands on him, and he was filled with the Spirit. And as a result, the spirit of wisdom rested in his life. My prayer for our church family as we go into this year, and let me tell you, I couldn't be more excited about this year. I couldn't be more excited about the theme, to be faithful. It's the very reason our mission emphasis through the whole year is cross the line. How do you cross the line? Be faithful. And as you're faithful, God will use you in profound and powerful ways. May God speak to your heart as you think about your own journey. If someone casts a shadow like a Moses in your life, rejoice what God has done to let them be a part of your journey of faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word. It speaks to our hearts and energizes each one of us. Because we come, Lord, not feeling like we have the answer to everything, but you are the answer. We come knowing that our new reality is one that is anchored in the truth of who you are, anchored in the promises of your word, anchored in the commands you give. So, Lord, bless those who respond to you. Let us experience you in a profound and powerful way. Lord, let us, during these weeks that unfold, let us encounter you in a vibrant, dynamic, beautiful way. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to watch the testimony of people like Wade and Sheila who've lived their life to love you and to serve you and to accomplish things through their 50 years of marriage. Lord, thank you for all those who are here that are willing to say yes to you no matter what. Lord, bless us as we respond to you. Help us, Lord, to find our hearts anchored in you because you are faithful. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.